it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. This week we talk matters of the budget and how they impact on blind and vision impaired people. Firstly, we hear from Leah Van Poppel, the CEO of Blind Citizens Australia, with her comments on the budget.
The budget had very little in the way of disability-specific initiatives in it, Vaughan, but there were a couple of things. The government has set out to create an NDIS special savings account fund, which will be separate to the already existing fund that takes the Medicare levy. And that fund will sequester money for the Commonwealth's contribution to the NDIS. To raise the money that goes into that fund, they're going to do a number of different things. Chief among them is that people who come on to all sorts of welfare payments, be that the blind pension or other forms of welfare payment in the future, won't get the money that's about $320 a year of supplements that goes to people for their power bills that was introduced when the carbon tax was introduced. So they're scrapping that and putting those savings in. They're also going to review 30,000 people on DSP each year for 3 years, so that's a total of 90,000. Which is sort of roughly about 10% of DSP recipients. And the language they're using is talking about people who are at high risk of not being eligible, even though they're already on DSP. So we are still waiting on some clarity about how that initiative is going to work. There was some money in the budget specifically to increase funding for students with disabilities, and that will go directly to schools rather than to each individual student, and it looks like it'll be just based on discretion in terms of the needs of the student. There was money for a test, try and learn fund, which is going to help with innovative ways of trying to get people who might be at risk of long-term welfare dependency and get them into jobs.
And I noticed that in the last day or two, there's been a campaign by the Australian Communications Consumer Action Network to around the fact that in the budget there was a break, I suppose you could call it, for free-to-air television licensees. And the Australian Communications Consumer Action Network. Is asking for that extra money to be spent on audio description and captioning.
We would agree that if the government is going to give broadcasters a discount to their licences, there should be a quid pro quo for that. And we believe that access to audio description is a fundamental human right. The government shouldn't necessarily have to find quid pro quos for it. But certainly it would be a good opportunity for the government to show some good faith on a human rights issue that's, you know, critical to people who are blind or vision impaired. We're working on our key election priorities, as we discussed last week, and one of those will be audio description. We've already been talking to some of the players in the field who are passionate about audio description, and we'll continue to do that to make sure that, you know, the efforts that we make are coordinated with everybody else's work.
Leah Van Poppel, CEO of Blind Citizens Australia. One of the ways that New Horizons gets to people, as you know, is through the RPH stations across Australia. The station that you're listening to now could well be one of those stations, and this station could very seriously be impacted by one of the measures that is in this year's federal budget, as set out by the Coalition government, a further $1.4 million cut to community radio. This has an impact on the digital service, and you could well be listening to a digital service right now, as 22% of the Australian capital city populations are. The cities that will be directly affected are Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth. However, this could well have an impact on community stations across the country. The CBAA, that's the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia, is asking people to sign a petition at facebook.com/keepcommunityradio. That's facebook.com/keepcommunityradio. The more people who sign this petition, the more likely it is that the money will be put back into community radio and that further cuts will not be considered. New Horizons goes out on community stations across the country, including the RPH network stations. The cuts to community radio will have a direct impact on RPH stations across the country. And to tell us about that, here's Nikki Lindemann, the manager of 2RPH in Sydney. Nikki, thanks for joining us in the program.
Very good to be with you, as they say on the ABC.
Indeed they do. Why don't you start by telling us how it is that an RPH station differs from a standard community station?
An RPH station is a service, as we see it. It's a service for people who have trouble accessing print in any other way. And we offer just so many different magazines from every kind of interest perspective. We also read the daily newspapers. So we're not standard radio stations as such. We don't do talkback. And we're completely apolitical as well, which a lot of our listeners find very refreshing.
And Sydney's one of, what, about 18 stations across the country?
Yes, 7 cap city stations and some regional stations down in Victoria. So we're a very big network.
And you've been around, what, about 30-odd years, 35 years?
Sydney just celebrated 32 years broadcasting, but of course we were in existence before that, before we actually went to air. So probably, yeah, it must be around about 35 years.
Now, there are a couple of things that that come up in the budget this year, which throw a bit of a spanner in the works, I suppose you could say, or make things a little bit difficult for RPH stations. One of them is the increase in the gap between what is covered by the government and what RPH stations will have to pay. In fact, all community stations will have to pay to keep their digital services on the air. What does that mean for 2RPH?
Well, for 2RPH, it means a huge injection of its own funds. We're now being asked, along with other RPH stations and other community stations, to chuck in $15,000 of our own money to keep the digital service on the air, which is a very hard thing to contemplate when you consider this is just the first year, and if the government don't come to the party in future years, it could, of course, increase. So $15,000 this year, who knows what it'll be next year if we can't persuade the government to change its mind.
And of course, it doesn't stop there, does it? Because if one of the other stations pulls out, that fee goes up, doesn't it?
Of course it does, yes. And yeah, we're quite worried about it. We're very seriously worried about it. So we're hoping that all stations will, for the time being at least, stay on the air, stay on the digital air, and until we can sort this out and get the, you know, make the government understand that our digital services are very important.
Just how important are they? Do you have any idea at this stage as to what percentage of your listenership listens on digital radio?
Well, really, at this stage, it's only anecdotal because there haven't been any surveys as such. So there's been an uptake of up to about 22% of the population who have started to buy digital radios. Also, there are some car companies. I believe Toyota is now fitting digital radios as standard. So it's happening. It's happening. And it's happening with increasing momentum. So I think it's very important. And the quality, of course, is second to none, particularly, of course, for our service, for people, you know, in their later years, perhaps whose hearing isn't quite as acute as it once was. Digital is wonderful because it's so clear.
Mm. And it's important to stress, of course, that this doesn't mean the cessation of RPH services across the country. It just puts the digital radio service into jeopardy for community stations.
Yeah, that's correct, yes.
There are some funding concerns that have come up in the last couple of years that are putting RPH services into great jeopardy across the country. Related to the NDIS, do you want to give us some details on that?
Yes, indeed. And it's one of our biggest challenges, in fact. Quite a few of the RPH stations have had the benefit of disability funding through their state governments. And because the NDIS is rolling out in various states, particularly in New South Wales now, in the ACT and in New South Wales, the NDIA, which is the authority that sort of auspices the NDIS, has decided to basically withdraw the funding to the RPH stations, the disability funding. It represents for 2RPH a quarter of our funding. Now, we have a stay of execution, as it were, another 18 months to 2 years, but After that, we are looking at a very serious shortfall. And that represents, I mean, it represents it a serious threat if we don't somehow work out a way that we can replace that funding in some way, or at least a proportion of it.
My understanding is that Canberra is the station which has been most immediately affected, and they've been successful in getting a grant to run a program about the NDIS, which covers the shortfall in their funding. What do you think the likelihood is of that happening for the other stations which are affected?
I want to congratulate Canberra, first of all, for getting that done, because that's a really big feather in their cap. I will add, though, Vaughan, that at this point, as far as we know, that is just for 1 year, just for 12 months. So they have a stay of execution, to coin a phrase again. I don't want to be pessimistic. I want to be optimistic. And certainly 2RPH has plans to, together with hopefully some of her sister stations, to put together a similar sort of program. But whether we'd get funding for that and how we would organise that to get that funding is an entirely another matter that we need to still discuss. That does not, making a program about the NDIS will not replace that funding. It may go some way towards finding a little bit of funding to pour into the big black hole. And certainly we want to do that because there are a lot of confused people out there trying to navigate their way through the NDIS, and a program on an RPH station would surely, certainly help them. But we have to be very creative about how we look at ways to try to plug the gap. Considerations of programming, including presenting programs on a more informative level, so that we become perhaps information platforms to a certain extent, as opposed to just radio stations, would hopefully attract some more sponsorship, and that way we might survive.
Because that's part of the problem, isn't it, that RPH stations have hitherto had a lot of trouble in attracting sponsorship. What sort of sponsorship arrangements exist at the moment for RPH stations?
We have some very good government sponsorship from the ATO and various other government departments that comes through in waves. It's not constant, but sometimes, particularly at election times, like at the moment, it's extremely good. It's extremely helpful. So that's the most regular. We have also some sponsored programs. Our religious programs are sponsored. They're traditionally sponsored across the community station network, community station sector, and we certainly benefit from airing those programs. If we're lucky, to persuade various organisations, 2RPH is very, very fortunate to have an arrangement, a partnership with Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Ophthalmologists, a bit of a mouthful, called RANSCO for short, and they support us. We did have for a while a good, wonderful arrangement with Guide Dogs New South Wales ACT, but the funding they presented to us, or they provided to us, has had to be allocated elsewhere, so that hasn't continued, but for a long time we had good support from them. Those sorts of organisations are the ones that help stations like ours, and certainly the idea is now to create as many partnerships in order to not only perhaps benefit from some funding, but perhaps to spread the word, raise awareness of our service, and keep us on the air.
That was Nikki Lindemann, the manager of 2RPH in Sydney. If you want to sign that petition, it's at facebook.com/keepcommunityradio. That's facebook.com/keepcommunityradio. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted on 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660, or by email on bca@bca.org.au. Do take care, and I'll talk to you next week.
We'll achieve the realisation of our dreams, of our dreams.